Please turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. I promised. Proverbs, chapter 3. The book of Proverbs is a wonderful book. It gives a lot of insights about life. If you've ever wondered how to go about life, just soak yourself up in that book. You will find a lot of insight. Proverbs chapter 3, we shall read two verses there as of now, verses 5 to 6. The Bible reads, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Let's read it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. You have said the entry of your word in us brings light and gives understanding to the simple. This morning, may that light shine in us. And our God, may that understanding be given to all of us. Holy Spirit, we yield and surrender to you. Anoint your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This reminds me of some time back I entered a place, and while I was waiting to be attended to, I found there was a magazine on the table, as is the case with most of the places. And I reached out for that magazine, and I opened it and started reading it. I came across a simple story there of a lady who was walking. Let me just put it, simplify it. Maybe she was walking along Cairo Road. And as she was walking, she was crossing one street after the other. And, you know, our town is busy. And as she was crossing streets that joined Cairo Road, and she heard a voice from Norway. The voice simply says, "Stop!" And the lady stopped. She looked around, there was nobody. Just as soon as she stopped, a car was coming behind her. It lost control. It just came and actually just passed a few inches from where she was standing. Just went and overturned it there. They said, "Wow." I can imagine how shaken she was. Wow. Thank God for the voice. Thank God for the voice. And she continued walking again on the corridors of Cairo Road. I don't know why. I always imagine that place at Woodgate House there, because you walk under the thing. And again, the same voice came, "Stop!" And she stopped. And suddenly, a piece of concrete just fell from the roof. Just go, boom! Again, just a few inches from where she was. I said, "Oh, thank you, thank you." For sure, if it landed on her, she would have really been in big, big trouble. And then suddenly she stopped and said, she looked around and there was nobody. And she asked, "Say, just who are you?" She asked the voice. And the voice said, "Ah, I am your guardian angel. I always guide you. I'm always with you. So I am your angel." And the lady looked back and said, "But where were you when I was getting married?" We are all on the path. We are on the path to somewhere. The destination may differ from one person to the other, but we are all on the path. To some, they are on the path to finding a young lady or young man to marry, while others, they are on the path to recovery from an illness or a terrible condition. Still to others, they are on the path to signing a business deal that will make a big difference in their lives. Still others are on the path to looking to finding an answer, a solution to their financial situation. And so we are all on the path. We are all moving. We are all going. Still others are on the path to finding a solution to their marital problem. The marriage is in a problem and they are on the way to finding a solution to that. We are all moving. We are all on the path. Unfortunately, while others are on the path to somewhere, there are those that are on the path to nowhere. Where are you going? Nowhere. But I'm on the path. They're there. But the thing is this, those that are on the path to somewhere, yes, they'll get there. But those that are on the path to nowhere, they will wind up nowhere. But the book of Proverbs here tells us of that fact, that we are on the path. And now there is an invitation here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. There is a warning here. The warning is not to lean on your own understanding. There is a danger when the Bible warns and you keep walking against the warning. There is always a danger. Why does the Bible have to warn us about leaning on our own understanding? In fact, if you look at the opening statement, there is an invitation. Trust the Lord. It's an invitation. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Trust the Lord. It's an invitation. The second one is a warning. Lean not on your own understanding. So in our daily life, we are faced with direction to go every day. Decisions to make. And puzzles to solve. But you know, we thank God that God is aware of this and he hasn't left us without a clue on how to go about the issues of life. So the message I'm sharing with you today is simply titled The Path and the Signposts of Life. The Path and the Signposts of Life. We see that all of us are on the path. All of us are on the road. But that's not enough. What makes a difference? And that's why you see those posts, signposts on the road. They're very, very important. If it was only the road that was important to us, you know what would have happened? They would have just made beautiful roads, and that's it. Then we just begin to drive there. Your car is in good condition, and you are a qualified driver. You've got that thing called driving license. You simply drive and go. But what's the bother putting those signs on it? And so we're going to look at those signs of life today as we look at this proverb. How does God lead his people? How can you know I'm being led by the Lord? He will lead you with those signposts. And so we've got all this. God has given us the clue on how to go about this. He has given us the guides on how to go about this. You see, in his wisdom, He has laid down to us important guidelines that we need to follow. These are to help us to arrive where we want to go. The danger is, therefore, the danger and the difference is whether we are leaning on our own understanding or we're going to trust Him. Are we going to trust Him with the affairs of our lives? Are we going to trust Him to lead and guide us to where we want to go? Or are we going to lean, or are we going to depend on our own wisdom or on our own understanding? But as I said earlier on, it is dangerous to depend on our own understanding. It is dangerous to lean on our own understanding. It is dangerous. And so we need to go to God to look at His map. We need to go to God, and then as we begin to follow this path, to observe the signs. It is so surprising with our drivers today. I don't know what's wrong with them. Driving now on our roads is cumbersome. Not only is it dangerous, it's just cumbersome. There are signs here, and you see there are signs that say slow vehicles and heavy trucks, please use the left lane. You've seen such? But you find a 25-ton truck moving at 20 kilometers per hour. Unfortunately, it is not even a 25-ton truck. It is a Mercedes-Benz S500. The guy is driving at 40 km per hour. And you know why? Because he is on the cell phone. And you're driving, there is a traffic buildup, and you are in the queue driving, and you look, and the sign thing there says 80. That means 80 kilometers per hour. And the guy is doing 40. And there is a traffic buildup behind him, and he doesn't even bother because he's on the phone. Unfortunately, some of them, I used to think some time back when the people were advertising vehicles for sale, some of them, if they want to sell quickly because they want to attract customers quickly, they will say, lady-driven car. I'm wondering whether that status still remains. The other day I was driving, and I saw a car came from nowhere, just going, whoo, there was another car there, just going in between, whoop, and again in front. I checked in the mirror of that car. Guess who was driving? And I said, I'm no longer going to be attracted if they say it is lady driven. There are those signs for us to follow. Lean not on your own understanding. We need to observe those signs as we drive on the road. We need to observe them. You know, technology is aware of this now. To ease our movement, to ease the location of our destination, technology has increased so much. Now you've got on your phone, you just punch in the place where you're going, it will show you where it is. And you just drive along that road and you get there. Unfortunately, in Lusaka, there are certain places, even if you punch your GPS, you just have to ask sometime. You can't get there if you follow those things. But technology has increased so much that we can do that. And the Bible is warning us here never to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge Him. Why? Because He shall lead us. He shall lead us. He shall direct. The Bible says the steps of the righteous man are directed by who? By the Lord. You know what that means? It means, I saw yesterday I was in a certain place, and there were guys, Brother John is here. I was seated somewhere near his office, and there was a guy. was wearing those nice long shoes. Only guys can wear those. The guy was in those. And then the other one behind him was saying, don't only look where you're going, look where you're stepping. Look where you're stepping, you know, not just where you're going. It means you're not just throwing steps. You're watching and observing where your foot is going to land before it lands there. There is that animal impala. See, it can jump high. It jumps very high. That thing will not jump high unless it sees where it is going to land. And so, the Bible says, he will direct our path. And so the steps of the righteous man are directed by the Lord. It means God takes care. He helps you to land your foot where you are able to see. Because if you just walk, guess what? You end up landing like here. I'm not going to put the next step there. Even if you put $1 million to say, can you step? I'm not going to do it. There is space here. That's the danger of leaning on our own understanding. There's an invitation, trust the Lord. You know, the word trust means this. It means an assured reliance on the character, the ability, and the strength and the truth of someone or something. That's why when you came here, those blue chairs, I didn't see anyone coming, first of all, checking down there. You just went and dropped the chair and you just sat. That means you are convinced about the reliability of that chair. When we were young, we used to play this game. You want to tease your friend. Sometimes we ended up exchanging blows. Because it was not a good play. Now your friend is coming to sit on a stool. You just put the stool away. He goes to land there. But that's not a good one. And if you had that in mind, definitely you're going to check that chair before you sat on it. But you trusted it so much that you just came and just dropped and just sat on it. Lean not on your own understanding. So to trust is an assured reliance on a character, the ability, the strength, and the truth of someone or something. In this case, we're talking about the Lord. It's the reliance, the assured reliance on these attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ, of God Almighty. It means a conviction about the capacity of somebody. That leaves no question mark. That's to trust. And God said, trust me. Trust me. You know why? The book of Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. The New Living Translation says, Jeremiah 10, 23. New Living Translation says, I know, Lord, that a person's life is not in his own. No one is able to plan his own course. Your life is not in your own hand. It's not in yourself. And so how does God help us? How does God direct our path? How does God lead us where we cannot lean on our own understanding? You see, leaning on your own understanding has got challenges. You may be leaning on a habit that is outdated. Leaning on your own understanding has got challenges. You may be leaning on your own personality trait. That is very, very, very dangerous. Leaning on your own understanding is dangerous. You may be leaning on something because you are not seeing your own blind spot. You know, when you're driving a car, your visibility is not 360 degrees. You've got five mirrors to guide you. Some even more. Some vehicles have got more. But even then, you're not having 360 degrees control or sight of your vehicle. There are spots that are known as blind spots. A blind spot is a place, it's a point where you're seated in your driving seat, you check your mirrors, but you are unable to pick that. So sometimes it's important. Even when you're driving, use the mirror. They say you use, when I was training to drive, there was this South African man who was training us, and he said, you know what, every second that you drive, you check your mirrors all around. You check them. Or sometimes you just, it won't be a bad idea, just use your head and your eyes to check, to see around what is happening. Know the vehicle behind you. Know the vehicle in front of you. Know what is happening before you change lanes. You're supposed to know, not only from the mirrors, you're supposed to check even with your head. Because something could be in the blind spot. And so leaning on your own understanding could be you're leaning on the blind spot. And you're going, there is a track that is already here. And you know what it means. And the Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding. Leaning on your own understanding is sometimes you'll be leaning on the strength that is weaker than the force that you're facing. Every person trusts themselves. Even when boxers go into the ring, they trust themselves. You hear the words that they speak. You see, no one shows that they're going to be beaten. Why? Because they're leaning on their strength, they're leaning on their training, they're leaning on the instruction from the coach. But guess what? The reality happens in the ring. You've seen them falling like a kid, like that. Because the other guy is stronger. The guy didn't even know the punch that is going to land to his head. You watch that fight between George Foreman and Muhammad Ali. I thought the guy was going to be wired. George Foreman looked built up and strong. But guess what? The one that happened in Congo. Hey! Unleash this thing! Ground. But before the fight, actually, George Foreman, I shared that with you here. He had plenty of stuff, including Lucky Charm. And the Bible he carried was not to be led by the Spirit. The Bible he carried the Bible to that fight. It was another Lucky Charm added to him, as far as he's concerned. Because somebody just said, George, you may need this one. And guess what? He was hammered. Ding. All this. And the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding is always limited. You may be leaning on your perception. It does not take you anywhere. You may be leaning on an opinion. How many people know that every person is entitled to their opinion? And God says it's dangerous to lean on your own understanding. And say, come, put your trust in me. I will show you the direction of life. You remember, we are all on the path going somewhere. Amen. We are all going somewhere. And God says, you know what? Your destination is very important. Where you are going is very important. The decisions that you make in life are very important. You know what? Come and make them with me. I'll verify them. I'll check them out. And I'll help you to get to where you're going. It's so frustrating that you start off, you burn fuel, you spend money, and you don't reach where you're going. Because you made wrong decisions. The first sign that God is going to use to lead us is the Father's command. I've got six of them that I'm going to highlight here. That as we walk on this journey, as we walk on this path, what we need to look out for, what we need to be aware of, so that we don't walk to the left or to the right, so that we don't lean on our own understanding, but that we may trust upon the Lord. To help us guide our path. And so we look for those signs. The first one is the Father's command. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 to 23, the Bible reads, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you are awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproof of instructions are the way of life." This is a road sign. This one is a one-way road sign. The Father's command. The word of God. This one asks questions like this. Is the decision I am making backed up by the word of God? What does the word of God say about what I'm about to do? Unfortunately, believers, when they're about to make decisions, certain decisions, they don't even want to mention the word God. They think God is going to disadvantage them. No, he says, lean on me. It means you consulting, aligning your decision with the word of God. What has God to say about this? And someone may say, no, Pastor, what if I'm just a new convert? I'm not yet familiar with scriptures. I haven't read much. I don't know scriptures. I don't know. Hey, my answer to you is that consult. Just find a brother or a sister who's been in the Lord for a while and say, hey, this is the decision I want to make. Do you have any scripture that it is contradicting? One of such is, maybe let's say you want to marry a young lady. A beautiful young lady there or handsome young man there, you want to marry them. Find out from the Lord. Just go to a believer and say, hey, this is the status of this man. Just 2 weeks ago, he was found drunk and he was lying on the road. But last week, I saw him in church. And now he says he wants to marry me. What do you have a word that can help me? But you have to be careful who you are consulting. You're not just going to find anybody in church. Maybe he's an elder. He's also looking. And now you come with a story about that young lady in the choir. I know. Be careful. Reverend Kenneth Gordon Sackling, a great man some years back in the Northwestern province, shared with us a story of a man who went to him, made an appointment to help him pray, find a mate. I say, Reverend, I want you to help me find a mate. And the Reverend Sackling said, so come on such and such a day, we go for prayer. And so, you know, it was in the bush there, in the rural area of Zambia, a lot of bush nearby, and it is good to go there and pray. And so they went together, and the Reverend Gordon Sackling said, my brother, you are the owner of this, you know. You're the owner of this request and burden. So I would rather you started praying, and I'll close it up at the end. And the brother said, oh, yes, I will pray. Oh, Father, the prayer went like this. Oh, Father in heaven, I thank you that marriage is from you, and now I'm your servant. I've been serving you, and now that time has come because you are the one who said it was not good for a man to be alone. And he prayed quite a lot of scripture there, and then he reached a point. He now started giving the qualification of the lady he wanted to say, hey, I want a woman that looks like Brother AZ's wife. Reverend Sackling just at that point opened his eyes and said, hey, my brother, can you open your eyes? You've already answered your prayer. Why did you bother to bring me here? So be careful who you are consulting. Amen. But what I'm saying is that consult. Get your decision and put it on the word of God and see if it stands. This is one way. This is important. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 15, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" And now you say, no. If I consult and I tell them about everything, I remember some years back I was cheated in this church. And somebody came, a young lady came with a young man. That young man was not from our church. You know, I was seeing for the first time. And I said, "Is this young man saved?" "Oh, yeah, pastor's well saved, you know. Which church does he go to?" "Oh, no, the boy goes to North Mead." Literally, did I know that I was being tricked for me to say yes? And poor me, I could not even discern. I just said, yeah. Canceled them and married them off. A few months later, that marriage broke down. And now, when they came to my office, that's when I was told the true story about the young man. The young man was not from church. Sign number one, signpost number one, the Father's commandment. Does the word of God mean anything into your life? Do you read the word of God for others or for yourself? Have you ever stopped a decision because it is contradicting the word of God? Have you ever stopped signing a contract because it is contradicting the word of God? Have you ever stopped a relationship because it's contradicting the word of God? God will guide you with his command. So pay attention to what Father has to say. The book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 reads, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that it is written, or to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous." You hear the way? You make your way prosperous. "And then you will have good success." The Message puts it this way. And don't for a minute let this book of the Revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you will get where you are going. Then you will succeed. The Father's command, the Father's instruction. God is not there to deprive you of the goodies that your life needs, but he's there to guide you. You know why it is important to lean on the word of God? Is that God knows the past, God knows the present, and God knows the future. And some of the decisions you're making may look okay for now, but their future is disastrous. And so if you come to the Lord and say, "Hey, show me," guess what is going to happen? He's not only interested in your present, God is interested in your future. Where you wind up to. He sees the beginning, the end rather, from the beginning. The second signpost that you find, the second one that God leads us with, again, it is from him. It is wisdom. You know, to be wise is not the same as to be clever. The devil in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1 is said to be clever. To be clever means to be cunning. It means to be shrewd. It also means to be crafty. Clever, intelligent, skillful. Wisdom is totally different from that. Wisdom is different. Wisdom, according to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, is wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Actually, wisdom is a woman. She's beautiful. She offers you long life in her right hand. Hear that. And riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All the way are satisfying. All the ways are satisfying. That's wisdom. There are some people that are clever, but they're not wise. I like dealing with wise people. I like people with wisdom. My father used to say, you know what? When you are wise, society will respect you. That's why Solomon, Brother Solomon, was given options. He chose wisdom. Talking about wisdom, this reminds me, I was reading a story about Mahatma Gandhi, that famous Indian prime minister, when he was studying his law in England. There was this professor that he was always at loggerhead with. I think his name, they've only given one name, Professor Peters. He always had, were at loggerhead with him and the talk. And there's this one day that Professor Peters was eating his meal right in the campus. And Mahatma Gandhi saw him because he knew the relationship that existed between the two. He also got his food. He just came near him and sat and started eating. And the professor looked at Mahatma Gandhi and said, Gandhi, it seems you don't understand. Why have you ever seen a pig and a bird sitting together and eating together? That really angered Gandhi. But he thought about it. Say, how do I answer about this one? So, where have you ever seen a pig and a bird eating together? Sitting and eating together. And Mahatma Gandhi looked at him and said, okay, I'll fly away from here. Went and sat elsewhere and continued eating. This really bothered the professor. And the professor said, I'm going to follow him. You know, he can't just do such a thing and then walk away from me. What does he think he is? He's a bird. Guess who remained? Guess who is the pig? And so he went. And the professor followed with his meal and went to sit near him. And started questioning him and then giving all this. And then finally he wanted to fix him. He says, Gandhi, if you were walking on the street and suddenly you come across a bag, you pick that bag and open it, you find two bags inside. One of the bags has got a lot of money, a lot of pounds in it, plenty of it. And the other one has wisdom. Which one would you pick? Gandhi didn't even hesitate. He said, I'll pick the bag for money, of course. And the professor said, yeah, I've got you. He looked at him and belittled him a little bit and said, if I were in your shoes, I would go for wisdom. Gandhi looked at him again after a while. He said, well, each one picks what they don't have. God help you. That's wisdom, you see that? You don't get offended, but you give the truth as it comes. That's wisdom. Use wisdom. Wisdom is important. Wisdom is important. The Bible says wisdom comes from the Lord. True wisdom comes from the Lord. In the book of James chapter 3 verse 17 to 18, the Bible says, but the wisdom that comes from the heaven or from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. That's wisdom. Be wise in your dealing. Be wise in your talking. Be wise. Seek wisdom. If you don't have wisdom in what you're doing, seek somebody who is wise. Indeed. Unfortunately, there are people in higher offices, very intelligent, highly qualified, but they lack wisdom. No, they're not wise. Look at the way they talk. Look at what they do in those offices. Some of the places you go there, you say, my goodness. Oh, just what are they doing here? They fail to deal with the problem that are arising from their employees and things like that. They're so selfish. And it is waste to have a leader, a national leader, that is not wise. You know, the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. And to have a national leader or national leaders that are described as foolish is dangerous. So wisdom will guide you. God leads us in the path using wisdom. Using wisdom, you stay in the middle of the road. Wisdom enables you how to do what you want to do. Where it will end you up. Wisdom gives you that insight. Wisdom. The next road sign, the road post, that God uses to lead us. You know, wise men don't sweat to get answers to what they are doing. They don't sweat. They know how to use others to get what they don't have, which is in others. Wise men know when to consult. Wise men are usually patient. Wise men are not just led by the masses, but the masses. They are not led by mob psychology. They are logic in what they do. They examine things and compare them with the will and the plan of God. They are wise. And you know, a man that beats up the wife, batters the wife and injures the wife, and later on, the wife is in pain, goes to hospital, and they don't say, yeah, I wish I didn't do what I did. That man is not wise. If he was wise in the first place, he would have considered butter before he buttered the wife. I'm also seeing women pouring hot porridge and cooking oil on their husbands. That is not being wise. The Bible actually calls it this way. A foolish woman pulls her home with her own hands. A foolish one. Which means, therefore, the wise one builds it with her own hands. No wonder some marriages are flourishing, others are not. Because guess who is in there? I'm praying to God these days that he gives me the eyes to see foolish guys entering my office asking for premarital counseling. If I see the sign of foolishness, because we are sending too many foolish guys there. You don't expect wise decisions from a foolish person. That's not me. That's the Bible. And you sisters, take time. One of the things that you should be looking into a man is he wise? And you brothers too. Take time. Is she wise or foolish? Of course, don't go there and tell them that after examining you, I found that you are a very foolish man. And again, that is lack of wisdom. You see what I'm talking about? And that's the difference. You can tell whether this person is wise or not by the way they come out. Jesus Christ called his disciples foolish and never took offense. You know why? He's clever. He knew how to put it, and he knew when. And he finally said, "You guys, do you want to leave us? Where do we go? You're the guy with life." Jesus was full of wisdom. Actually, the Bible says he grew in stature and in wisdom. Why do you think those two have to be mentioned? Because that's the guide. Believers, we should be growing in stature, spiritual stature, and in what? Exactly. The next roadmap, road sign, is integrity. Integrity is that sign you see on the road when you're driving. It says, keep left. You've seen that? Keep left. The other day I had a terrible dream. Saw somebody I knew driving at a roundabout. Hey, you entered the roundabout from the left, isn't it? Hey, him actually drove and entered the roundabout on the right. And I saw vehicles coming this side. In a dream, thank God, I didn't see the end result. I just woke up and said, praise the Lord. Integrity tells you to keep what? Left. That's integrity. There is that small thing you use when you are drawing a line. We call it a ruler. In technical drawing, we used to call it rule. Rule. It rules. It rules the line. As you draw with a pencil, your line is not going to go like that. It will be straight. That's integrity. It guides that bobbin or pencil to where you want to be. When you are an engineer, you don't want to make mistakes. You don't want to miss things. And so those straight things help you to apply your principles well. Integrity. Integrity. Integrity asks this question. Is what I'm about to do honest? Is the direction I'm taking honest? Integrity deals with these integrity principles. And you ask yourself questions like, what am I about to do if someone else saw me doing it? What will become of me? What am I about to do if my wife discovers? Is my marriage still going to stand? I've seen people going, stealing, you know what? I'm a man of integrity. You know, telling the crowd, I'm a man of integrity. I say, you're telling the wrong crowd. You don't talk about integrity to the crowd. You talk about integrity to yourself. Because integrity is what you do when no one else is seeing you. You are by yourself, you are there. And I say, yeah. And what you do there in private, exactly 100%, you come and you repeat it here. That's integrity. What you tell other people is character. Tell the people that I'm a man of character or I'm a woman of character. That's okay, because the character is what they see. Now, people will avoid going into those and say, I'm a man of integrity, you know. No, tell us about your character. I'm a man of character. And someone at the back say, amen. Then you've got it. Because character is what they see in you. Character. Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Proverbs 28 verse 6 says, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways. though he be rich. Proverbs, or rather, the Message Bible puts it this way, Proverbs 28, verse 28, it says, love and truth form a good leader. Sound leadership is founded on loving integrity. Proverbs 11, verses 3 to 5, Proverbs 11, 3 to 5, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. Proverbs 23, verse 19 to 21, the Message Bible puts it this way. Oh, listen, dear child, become wise. Point your life in the right direction. Don't drink too much wine. And someone say, I'll take too little. And get drunk. Don't eat too much food and get fat. Drunks and gluttons will end up on skid row in a stupor and dressed in rags. Integrity. Ask yourself such questions. How does it sound to me? This is what I'm about to say or do here in a private. Is my heart agreeing with what I'm about to do? Is this something I'll be proud to do, even in public? The number four, road sign, or road post, or signpost, is the Holy Spirit himself. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into truth, into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. There is a thing called inward witness. For anything that mankind does, especially a believer, there should be a corresponding voice coming from you. That is called an inward witness. Even, you see, I always say this, people will go to hell while hearing the voice of love within them. I love you so much. 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 And they're going until they drop there. Sometime, our mind makes so much noise. Sometimes the mind makes so much noise that we fail to pick the voice from the inside of us. Where do you think frustration has come from? It's because we fail to listen. Of late, there's been a lot of suicidal cases in our country. Why should people be taking their lives at will? Because of what I did now. And the Bible said, don't take your life. Don't take your life. Don't take your life. Don't take your life. The problem that you've done is, it has happened before. Don't take your life. I'm here to help you. And the next thing, and the person closes the ears, just boom. And they don't want to listen. Before they realize, and some people actually feel they're trying. Some of the people that have committed suicide, they feel they're trying. And oh, you know what? I've heard some people that have drank 10 tablets of quinine or whatever, they've survived. I think all I need is just to attract attention. And so they get to, they even sit where possibly somebody can pass and rescue them. You will die. and you will die of foolishness. There is no need of you committing suicide, my brother. There is no need of you committing suicide, my sister. The problem that you are in is common. It has been there before. You are not the first one to find yourself in there. By the way, the power of God is more than the strength of that offense that you've committed. He is able to do much more than you can ever dream. Never you take your life at will. Never you take your life for any situation that you find yourself in. There is a good God. He can take care of you. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able. Can you help me? Thing that come my way, he is able. More than able. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I can never dream. Is able. More than able. To make me what I want me to be. He's able to help you. Don't get lost in these problems. The book of Galatians says, let us be in step with the Spirit of God. Colossians 13 verse 15 said, let peace of God rule in your heart. Another issue, another road post is peace, the peace of God. If you, what you are doing gives you peace, go ahead and do it. But if it is not giving you peace, it is giving you sleepless nights, please don't do it. If you feel like you don't need to do it, just don't do it. If you feel there is a struggle within you over what you want to do, over a decision you want to make, please don't do it. Or better still, wait. Until there is peace. Oh no, Pastor, there is this deal. You know, but. This one sister here recently came and said, oh, Pastor, there is this invitation and abroad, and you know, but I'm not at peace. What do you think? I said, if you're not at peace, when is the trip? Thank God the trip was way, at least some days before that. And I said, you know what? Let's pray about it. If that situation continues, cancel it. But if it is just your fear of anything, something like that, God is going to give you peace. A few days later, things just came down. I said, Pastor, I can feel it. I can feel it now. I can go. I said, you travel. And she's back. Peace, like a river. Joy, like a fountain. Must be. Let all those are meant. That's the way God will guide your path. Finally, number 6, Jesus Christ himself. In John chapter 10, verses 4, and also 27, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And the Bible says, this is the final one. The Bible says there are two paths or ways or highways. I said there is one broad way where everyone is going. There are not even signs, say danger ahead. No, this one says do it as you feel. And the Bible says there is another smaller one. And say the broad one accommodates a lot because easy do. Everybody goes into the same. You know what? It is a generational trend. Everybody goes into it. So why not? And the Bible says there is still a smaller one. Where only people that are wise, people that think, go. It's not about mob psychology. It's about what God says. Usually the views of God are not common to people out there. Even for you, that's why you need to speak to people to bring conviction, because it takes you and the Holy Spirit to make things of God sensible to the people that are perishing. And so because of that, we go into the smaller one. Don't go simply because everybody else is not there. You are another. You are not everybody. The Bible says even if you live here on earth, your sojourner is in heaven. Jesus died long time ago on the cross. 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross. He cared enough to come on earth, laid his life, so that, you know, you and I could qualify to go in this designated route, not the broader one. So, going by what Pastor Walker has been teaching, now you've been wondering, how can it be? How can I live the kind of life that he's been teaching? Here are the road post signs. Follow them. Take time. Pray. Read the word of God. Consult. Listen to the inward witness. He's there to guide you. He's there to counsel you. I pray that as you live today, and some of you are making your strategic planning, either for your organization or for your life, you're making plans for next year, how you want the affairs of your life or the affairs of your institution as a Christian, how you want to manage them. I want you to take time and look at each one of those points that you're putting there, those objectives that you're putting there. Are there some that look like they're contradicting the word of God or not? And some of you have got great, great ambition for your life. I want you to take time as you begin to set yourself for next year. Begin to think about it. What things do I want to see happening in my life? And then bring them on the word of God and see how they can stand. Begin that. It's not a bad thing to begin to pray about your next year now. Lord, I want you to show me. I want every step that I make next year to be ordered by you. I want to see where I'm stepping, not just see where I'm going. Where you're stepping is very important. Lord, give me the eyes to see the road, these signposts on the road. Thank you for the beautiful car. Thank you for the machine. Thank you for it. But Father, show me the sign. Thank you for the beautiful road. Thank you. The government is building roads. Thank you. Well, I pray that, and unfortunately in Zambia, we remove those signposts. I'm told the people that remove them don't drive. I want you to have yours in life. How about you? Let us pray as we conclude. Let's just pray. I want you to reflect a little bit on what we've said. Your decision that you have made, some of you are already trapped up in decisions that you shouldn't have made. You are there. Some of you have been thinking, how do I get out of it now? And some of you are about to make terrible mistakes in your life. Terrible. And I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. You're about to make a terrible and serious decision in your life. As I was speaking, the Holy Spirit was speaking to you. Remember that decision? Remember. I want to tell you there is an opportunity for you today to change things. Today and not tomorrow. Please, every eye closed. Now, every eye closed. And some of you, you say, Pastor, the Lord can't even direct my path because I'm in the broad way. I want those of you, and you say, in a broad way, I'm actually just going with the masses. I don't even have Jesus Christ to lead me. I'm just on my own. I'm leaning on my own. In fact, I'm leaning on the devil. I'm not saved. And he is, you know, I'm here to give you an opportunity, my brother. I'm here to give you an opportunity, my sister. If you're such a person, Jesus Christ is here. He gave his life just for you. He died on the cross just to save you. It doesn't matter what you have done in your life. It doesn't matter the names people have called you in their family and in society. Today is your day. If you are here, say, you know, Pastor, I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to give you just this moment to raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Anyone here? Is anyone? Just raise your hand wherever you are. I'm going to see the hand. I'll pray with you. Is there any? Thank you, thank you, thank you, sir. Who joined this one? Thank you, sir. Who joined this? Who joined? You are very precious in the eyes of God. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Who joined this? Thank you, sir. I've seen that hand. Ma'am, thank you. Don't know whether it's a sir or ma'am. Thank you. Who joined them? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I've seen those hands. Who joined them? I want to pray with you. God wants to direct your path. You go in the right path, not a broad path. Thank you, ma'am. I've seen that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Please put those hands down. Who joined this? God wants to give you this opportunity. Anyone else? Thank you. I would like to, I just want to invite those of you that raise your hand to, let me say this. Can everybody please rise? Everybody in the church, just rise. I want to all of you that raise your hand to step up right here. Pick up whatever you brought with you, your bag, your cell phone, and I think just walk up front here. I want to meet with you and greet you here right now. Just step up here. Or if you didn't raise your hand, but you felt like raising your hand, but you didn't, and you say, you know what, I want to come. Just step up here. I want to meet you here. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, you are important. We are waiting for you. Just come. Walk over here. Thank you. Now, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, saw your situation. And he came down to die for the sin that he never committed, so that he could give you a gift of eternal life. And that gift of eternal life is only in Jesus Christ and him alone. And because Jesus Christ died, you don't need to live in sin. Because living in sin means dying in eternity. But Jesus Christ came to give us life. And say those that will receive him, he gave them the right to become sons and daughters of God. Today, you are on the verge of becoming a child of God. In spite of what you have done in your life, in spite of the name that you have been called, in spite of what has happened in your life, today you are on the verge of becoming the righteousness of God. And I'm going to pray with you. Because the Bible says with the mouth we confess and with the heart we believe. Jesus is the Son of God. I'm going to pray with you before we lead you into the house of prayer. I just want to ask you to raise one of your hands, just raise it up. Just close your eyes. And I would like to ask the church to join me. And please repeat these words after me. Father God, I come before you just as I am. I realize that I am a sinner and my way is hell. But today, I've heard your voice. I've heard your invitation. I now commit my life to you. Father, I ask for forgiveness. Forgive me of all the sins I've committed. Write my name in the book of life. Wash me with the blood of your Son. From today on, I choose to serve you, and I choose to live for you. I put my back on the deceiver. I will now live for you. Father, I thank you for accepting me, for saving me, and forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen.